Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken, Ed, good morning.
Hey.
Phil, welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you. Good to be back.
How was Vegas? It
was great.
You were there for a week.
Full week.
How's your liver? Vegas. How's your liver?
Hanging on by a thread.
And are you there for the Carpenters Convention?
Carpenters Convention, yeah. Once every 5 years.
How cool was it?
It was pretty cool. There was 1,300 delegates from across the U.S. and Canada. Some of our Canadian brothers and sisters were delayed getting there because of the strike.
Air Canada.
Because of the Air Canada strike that Ed was talking about on Worker Wednesday. So that made for a little bit of controversy. And then we had, this was an interesting component, we had some speakers. We had Governor Pritzker came. We had Hakeem Jeffries, who was just interviewed on the show last week as well. And then we had
Mr. Word Salad.
Then we had Secretary of Labor Lori Chavez Remer.
Okay.
Who got up and started touting the big, beautiful bill.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Didn't read the room all that well.
Do you know where you are?
Exactly. It was like, what is going on here? Like, I think the previous speaker said the big, beautiful bill has been the worst thing for the labor movement in the last half century, and then she got up and was like, you know, we're very proud of the big, beautiful bill. There's a lot in there for union people.
Well, she got a big frown from big, beautiful Phil.
She got a big frown from big, beautiful Phil.
What do you mean there's a lot in there for working people? No, there's not.
No.
There's a lot in there.
Yes.
Against working people. A lot of bad things in there for them.
No. Wow. It was a little tone deaf there, but the big news is my former boss, Gary Perenar.
Our former board member.
Former board member of the MCL.
Yeah, treasurer, I think, of the MCL.
He got up and delivered the vice president speech and just hit a home run. And everyone was yelling his name. And so there's speculation that he could maybe be the next big boss. We'll see.
Big boss.
Big boss.
Big union boss.
Big union boss.
Well, of like the whole international?
He would be the president of the international brotherhood, yes. Yeah, but again, it's speculation. But like, if you watch that speech, you'd be like, oh, he's the man for it.
The internet betting odds on the next president of the international just went big on Gary Perenar.
Yes.
I call that insider trading, Phil.
I said it's all pure speculation. I'm not basing that on any inside information.
Well, good for him. I'll tell you what. I don't know as much, obviously, about the Carpenters as you do, but it certainly seems that knowing Gary, who, by the way, to this day I'm afraid of.
Yes, still.
Right?
Why do you think I just mentioned that? Yes.
I'm not kidding. He's an intimidating dude.
Yes.
But really smart, and actually, if you get him going, he actually has a decent sense of humor, very dry, but you know, powerful, powerful leader.
He's a great leader.
Yeah, yeah. So that's really cool. Good for him. Yeah. You want to hear some other news?
Yes.
So we have an announcement to make from the National Coalition of Labor.
Whoa.
And it's interesting because it has this sort of weird tie-in to WGN. So in our studio here, there's a screen that goes over like the window that looks out into a couple of the studios, lobby, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And you know what that screen says if you pulled it down?
Allstate.
Allstate, that's right. So Allstate used to be major sponsor of WGN.
Yes.
Now I don't think they're involved at all.
So we never pull that screen down.
And we asked them to sponsor our show years ago, and they said, no thanks. Why do we ask them to sponsor our show? Because Allstate provides
roadside assistance
for 300,000 members plus their families. So you're talking about a million plus people.
For free also.
For free.
Free roadside.
If you're a member of the coalition, you get that for free for you and your family. And we got a call a few months ago, Phil, and they said, we want to talk to you. This is Allstate, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, so I felt like we're getting called to the principal's office, you know, nobody wants to talk to you when it's good, you know, good news.
Yeah.
So they got us on the phone, me and Ed, and we had a Zoom call, I think, and they said, yeah, we're going to be outsourcing all the call centers overseas. And I'm like, you got to be joking me. And we said, you know, look, respectfully, we pay you a lot of money every month, every year. You've been, you know, with us since day one. Part of the reason we pick you is because you're a good American company based right here in Illinois.
Yeah.
If you remember,
right? Used to be up in Northbrook.
Yeah. Big campus, et cetera. And I'm like, would you please just go back to the powers that be and just say, keep the, you know, the one center, I think we had a center in like
Michigan.
Holland, Holland, Michigan, or something like that. Keep that one center, and we'll be fine. We'll continue our relationship. And they said, sure, we'll take that back to the higher-ups. Within 24 hours, they called back and said, yeah, the answer's no.
Yeah, we're going to Mexico. Yeah.
And also, we were the only client that asked for this. We were the only people that pushed back and said, like, we don't want these to be outsourced.
Right.
Which is insane.
Everybody else. And they said to us, well, everybody else is fine with the savings. I'm like, okay, so wait a second. Are you going to lower our price? Because you're obviously going to make more money by outsourcing this. Oh, no, we're not going to lower your price.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, then what do we get out of it? Nothing. And I'm like, okay, when does it start? Tomorrow. So, like, you got to be joking me.
Seems like fair terms. Okay.
Yeah, right. And you know what? I went back, I looked at our contract, and nowhere in the contract did it say that all calls have to be answered here in the United States, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we pivoted, and we went out for bid, and we have an announcement to make, and that is starting September 1st, right? Like, just like a week and change. Mm. Labor Day, right?
Right.
Which is kind of fitting.
On Labor Day.
We are moving to a company called Good Sam. And they provide roadside assistance, and they also do like RV protection, and you know, they're big in that world. I think they're owned by Camping World. They're based in Lincolnshire, Illinois. Mm-hmm.
And we like that.
We like that, right? And we said we need to put in the contract a guarantee that all calls are answered in the United States. And they said, of course. So now, you know, you don't know what you don't know until you learn this. We have to put in the coalition in every one of our contracts that everything is right here in the United States. And you know what Allstate said to us? They're like, listen, we know this is, you know, not ideal for you guys, but we want you to know that you're going to have the white glove service. What does that mean?
Number one call center.
The number one call center. Like, where is it? Tijuana, Mexico.
Of course.
And like, Tijuana is known for some things, Phil, but I don't think it's call centers.
No.
That's where they said the calls are going. So, you know, look, first of all, you know, we talk about outsourcing all the time, right? And how, you know, jobs are supposed to be, under this administration, being brought back into the United States, right? Manufacturing, you know, all this kind of stuff, right? The tariffs, et cetera. Are there tariffs on a call center then, right? If you're literally, you know, sort of calling back into the United States, does Allstate have to pay a tariff on that? I think the answer is no, because
yeah, it's not
a product,
goods, right?
But it was wrong. It felt wrong to us. And so, you know,
well, and how long till you're speaking to a robot on the phone? I mean, that's got to be around the corner too, especially for Allstate. If they're already outsourcing, I'm sure their next move is just to have it all.
Well, listen, there's no doubt about that. However, would you want to talk to a robot when you're stuck on the side of a road in 3-degree weather in Minnesota?
Depends how helpful the robot is.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Please repeat.
I said I'm stuck and I'm about to freeze to death.
Do you guys yell at the automated services too when it doesn't understand you a couple times?
I just scream. I just scream, human being.
Yes.
Connect me with a human being.
I'd like to speak to a representative.
Zero.
I've had AI say, well, yeah, I constantly, I just pound zero, but yeah. I've had AI say to me, I will connect you with a human. Like, it says that, you know? Yeah. So anyway, that's our news. We got to put our money where our mouth is, you know, especially a coalition like this. So sorry, Allstate.
Is Good Sam
we're not sorry, Allstate.
Good size player in that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, they all use comparable networks. The service, we've never picked something where the service was lesser. So the members of the coalition will still get the same 24/7 roadside for cars, for motorcycles, tows, jump starts, lock your keys out of your car, whatever. Good for you, good for your family.
They all use the same, like you said, they all use the same tow trucks and towing companies, right? So
it's just a network, essentially.
It's that, but it's for us, it was the fact that, you know, they're just literally sending jobs overseas. And by the way, it probably wasn't a ton of jobs, Phil. It was probably like 30, 40 jobs, period, right? But even that's a bridge too far for us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it is what it is.
It's against the spirit.
That's right. We pride ourselves in the fact that if you call a coalition vendor, you're going to get a live person right here in the United States. So we're going to continue that.
American workers.
Yeah, American workers, American jobs. That's what this is all about.
Yep.
So anyway, that's our news about Allstate. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back. We got a ton of stuff to talk about right here on the Workers' Mic, 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Ed, Phil. Hey, on Worker Wednesday, Ed, you talked about the Canadian Air Canada's flight attendant strike, right?
I can't believe you actually listened to that. I'm so flattered.
Of course I even right. I listened to it.
That's amazing.
From Las Vegas.
I had at least three listeners, if I'm counting myself.
There you go. So it was interesting. And, you know, we had talked about this earlier. And I want to talk about it again and why. Number one, you know, we talked this. The legal climate is better for them in Canada to achieve some things, right? It is what it is.
Yep.
Secondly, though, and here's what I thought was interesting, what you brought up, Ed. The government ordered these flight attendants to go back to work.
Oh, yeah.
And they said no.
Yeah. They right. said that's an unconstitutional return to work order, we think.
Yeah.
So we're not doing it.
Right.
So badass.
The government ordered them again.
Yeah.
And they said no again.
Right.
The government tried to force an arbitration that would lead to an agreement. The union leader said, our agreement's going to come from negotiations.
And it did.
It did. I mean, they showed that if flight attendants don't come to work, you can't run an airline. And if you can't run your airline, you're going to call us and talk to us, and you're gonna listen to what, you know, what we want. And what was it? I think they went on strike on Saturday, and in the wee hours of Tuesday morning, they got their deal.
Yeah. And it had a lot to do with what's called ground pay, right?
Right.
So when you get to the airport, and you know, a lot of you don't know. You know, people don't know this, but flight attendants don't get paid usually until the door shuts.
Yes.
So they're helping you put your bags on and board in the plane, doing like dealing with the, you know, this crazy whack jobs, and they're not getting paid for it.
And when a plane is like delayed for a couple of hours, they're standing up there getting hollered at by people at the gate
and not getting paid.
And they're getting paid nothing.
Right. Yeah, it's insane. So they broke massive ground on this. Hopefully that translates to bigger wins in the United States. However, the United States, it's tougher to go on strike, right? There actually hasn't been a flight attendant strike in a long time. Like I remember in the 90s, American Airlines struck. I think there was one at Spirit maybe recently. I think it might have been pilots. But
those are just one-day strikes, right?
Well, American was a real strike. But here you have to go to mediation board, and you have to get released to strike.
Yep.
And then the president can come in and shut the strike down, like what he did with the railroad
worker
strike. Yeah, the rail strike.
That was Biden, actually.
It was.
Yeah. And so, you know, the climate here is not as easy to strike. However, like you said, so what?
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, what are they going to do?
Listen.
Yeah, they called their bluff.
Are they going to put you in labor board jail?
Exactly.
Right?
And I believe that the president is cheered routinely for refusing federal orders, like to bring citizens back from El Salvador in prisons, things like that. So there are other people out there not obeying federal orders. So if a bunch of workers want to say, try and do it without us. Yeah. Throw us all in jail and try to run your airline.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just calling a bluff, and it puts more money in workers' pockets, so good for them.
I love Canada's labor laws. Did you know that in Quebec, if you work in construction, you have to be in a union?
And you have to speak French.
They're all unionized up there. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's not crazy. It's awesome.
They're so different than us.
Yeah, they are. But my point is this. You know, for the flight attendants, I'm just using flight attendants as an example. My real example is actually federal workers, right? They just gutted all your collective bargaining rights, right? And a couple of courts have said, yeah, the president can do that, you know. Why not just all walk out?
Oh, my Lord.
I'm serious.
It would cause...
There's millions of them.
Yeah.
And so why not just walk out? If you're that concerned about it, you know, you really are like, oh, my God, collective bargaining is the be-all and end-all for us. Then walk
if
out.
Everyone from TSA walked off, oh my Lord.
It's a reminder of the concept of essential workers. You know, it's a concept that we understood for a brief year or two.
Right. You were essential. We really needed you. You were the heroes during, you know, the pandemic. And now we actually don't really care about you and hope to replace you with AI or people that, you know, are whatever, going to advance the president's agenda, you know, some nonsense. But I guess the point is, like, when you have nothing to lose, you have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Right? So you can lose your job. You're probably going to lose it anyway. Right? Because they're firing people. At the same time as, you know, wiping out collective bargaining, they're also firing people left and right.
Right. So, but the problem, as you point out, is so few of them are actually part of the union to begin with.
Well,
yeah, at the federal level. Look, yeah. Now you've got them going. Yeah. Yeah, Phil.
Here we go.
Phil, listen to me. Okay. I put in to ChatGPT the other day, I said, how many, you know, whatever, blah, 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 workers pay dues in federal unions. You know what ChatGPT said to me? Good question. Like, it gave me affirmation. Like, wow, you asked a good question. Like, first of all,
I hate to break your bubble, Ken. Yeah. They say that to everybody.
Every single question. Yeah.
It's like,
first of all, I don't need your, ChatGPT, if you're listening, I'm sure you are, I don't need your affirmation, okay? Yeah. I'm okay with the question. I just answer the question.
Exactly.
So anyway.
What am I paying you for? Yeah.
No, this is the free one.
Okay.
I'm not paying anything. But it was, Phil, 30%.
30, yeah.
Overall, all unions, 30%. Now, some are higher, some are lower, right, in terms of the unions, the AFGE, and, you know, there's other various federal unions. But overall, it's 30% of people pay dues. So when they're crying right now and like, oh, they're breaking our unions, et cetera, we don't agree with it.
Right. Of course not.
But is it like a day late and dollar short? And that, you know, where were you for the past 30 years? Well, you know, the union's trying to survive and represent you, and you're not paying dues. And doesn't it say that
you've been giving away the milk for free?
Yeah, doesn't it say that if only 30% of the people actually pay dues, maybe you don't want a union, right? If 70% of people are like, I don't want to pay dues, doesn't that mean you don't want a union?
It's also, it also can just be the human nature of, if federal law allows workers to get something for free or pay for it and get the same exact thing, people are going to choose to get it for free.
Some people.
It sounds like it's a lack of information, I think.
I think these DSA workers, you know?
Like,
listen, Phil, I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. Like in right-to-work states, in construction,
right,
we have 100% membership.
Yeah.
Like, look at Indiana, right? Yeah. That's a right-to-work state. Look at Iowa. That's a right-to-work state. You have members there, Phil.
Word tends to get around if somebody opts out and stops paying dues, and other members don't like that.
Yes.
Pass La Hammer.
You still got to eat lunch somewhere, man. That guy's eating in his truck.
Yeah. So anyway, so what else we got, Ed?
I mean, we've got to take a break in a minute, but one thing I think fits into this on weird requirements for jobs. In the state of Oklahoma, teachers that are coming from California or New York will now be interrogated about their personal political beliefs.
So all three teachers that are coming from those states.
It's this wave of California and New York residents that are flocking to Oklahoma, which ranks 51st in the nation in education after Washington, D.C.
Tulsa's a new hotspot.
Listen, and I got to tell you, I know some very nice people from Oklahoma.
Hold on a second. How can it rank 51st?
District of Columbia.
Is District Columbia 51st?
So they do all the states, and then I explained this as I was saying it. So if you have 50 states plus one, then it's out of 51. And Oklahoma got 51 out of 51.
So they don't even beat a District of Columbia.
They did not. I think they have the soldiers teaching in the District of Columbia at this point.
Right now, the National Guard.
Yeah, but in Oklahoma, they're doing this. And
so what are they going to ask? Like, look at your social media and say, are you liberal?
I think that's right.
Did you vote for Kamala?
I think it's going to be questions about, like, you know, what you think about, like, critical race theory, how you voted in the 2020 election,
you know,
things like that.
I'm gonna apply for a job there.
You should.
First of all, teachers from New York and California probably couldn't pick Oklahoma on a map.
No.
To be honest with you, I'm not far behind that.
It's the one that looks like a saucepan. It's got the little handle and
a saucepan. Okay. What's the one that looks like a boot?
That would be Italy.
Italy. Okay. Yeah. The great state of Italy.
Well, Canada's going to be a state soon, so.
Yeah, that's for sure. But we actually have to take a break in a second.
Right.
But I will say, when you're 51 out of 51, there's nowhere to go but up. But this is a bad move.
Good point.
This is a bad move.
Wow, interesting. So. All right, listen. We'll
good
be
luck,
right
students
back.
In Oklahoma.
Welcome to the beef packing plant. All right, listen, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. By the way, I meant to say this. Kevin told me this. He's like, you don't promote the coalition enough on this show.
Yeah.
So just real quick, I'm going to say this. And remind me, like, we should just say this at least once a show. If you're interested in more information about the National Coalition of Labor, you can go to coalitionoflabor.org, or you can call 800-433-2099. And at the moment, you'll actually be talking to Ed.
That's right.
Because you're carrying the phone.
I'm carrying the phone.
We switched the phone back and forth.
If you call it right now, you might hear it ring.
Good one.
But when we're talking about roadside and stuff, if you want free benefits like that, that don't come out of your pocket, they come with your union membership. Yeah, that's what coalition's all about.
All right. You have a story about Burger King.
I got a lot of stories about Burger King.
But which one?
The 24/7
one? The one I'll tell you today is about Burger King mom. That's not Burger King man. It's Burger King mom.
Okay.
And she went viral in July because at a Columbia, South Carolina location of Burger King, like the whole shift quit. They just said, like, we quit, we're out of here. She stayed.
Why they quit? Just because.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because they're getting paid. They're getting paid too well.
Right. They were making too much money?
Yeah. They're getting exhausted from carrying around all that money. They needed some time to go spend it. But Burger King mom, Nakia Hamilton, she stuck around and she worked the whole restaurant all by herself. She was making the food, working the counter, working the drive through, and cleaning up.
You want to talk about loyal.
So people were taking videos of Burger King mom and just saying, like, this lady is doing all this on her own. Like, what a commitment to her job, because that's a terrible situation.
Imagine, I'm sure they gave her a raise, right?
Can you imagine doing that for 5 or 6 hours? Like,
I can't imagine doing one job at Burger King for 5 or 6 hours. You know what I mean? Like, making the fries for 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah, they'd
hours.
Lose money on me. Like, what happened to all the patties? Where's all the patties? I would just be eating frozen nuggets.
Never get high on your own supply.
You can't do that. But to your question, Ken, they must have given her a raise.
Yeah.
They've fired her.
Oh, are you joking me? Why?
Because she
Burger King.
She got fired for working?
She took off too much time to watch her kids or pick up her kids, stuff like that. So her response is, you don't pay us enough to have childcare.
Yeah.
She's got 3 kids,
right.
And she's trying to make ends meet, but they fired her for repeated time off requests. Burger King mom, I don't know what she's going to wind
Meanwhile,
up
Meanwhile, half the other employees just walked out, but the one who does stick around, they're like, we're going to fire you too. That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can get a job for her here, call her WGN mom, something like that. But there's got to be a place for somebody who...
Hey, McDonald's.
Yeah.
McDonald's mom.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Come on. She was out there. She was willing to work. She worked her butt off, and she got rewarded with being fired, you know, from a minimum wage job. Hopefully, this is one of those things where it's like one door closes and another door opens.
I certainly hope so. Somebody should do the right thing and hire this woman.
Yeah, but hats off to Nakia Hamilton, lovingly known as the Burger King mom.
Former Burger King
Formerly the Burger King mom.
Yeah. Now unemployed.
If I ran a McDonald's franchise in South Carolina,
I'd be right there and I'd advertise it.
Absolutely. Right? Come meet McDonald's mom.
Absolutely.
She'll be working all by herself here.
Well, the other thing is Burger King.
Actually, they could test. Actually, you know what? Burger King probably had an epiphany. They're like, wait a second.
We're going to try running it with 0 people.
Exactly.
We could run this entire restaurant with 1 person. That's what we're going to do.
I mean, have you seen a Burger King lately? They're kind of desolate in there anyway.
I actually have not seen a Burger King lately.
Dude, there's like tumbleweeds in there. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's into that flame broiled anymore?
No, flame broiled has lost its luster. I don't know what happened.
I like it.
You still go?
Yeah.
When's the last time?
By last week.
I think
this is one of my neighborhood.
Are you serious?
I get 2 cheeseburgers with extra ketchup.
They got the sesame seeds on their burgers.
They certainly do. And they're legitimately flame broiled. All right. Other news. Speaking of strikes.
Yeah.
Boeing, right down in Missouri.
Boeing?
St. Louis area.
Yeah, St. Louis area. They make fighter jets. Like literally
F-15s, yeah. Missile system.
The ones that were just flying over Chicago at the Air and Water Show.
Yeah.
They're made right there, down there in Missouri or over there.
Metro East, they got Illinois workers, they have Missouri workers.
Yeah, and it's a good job, right? And Boeing pays good or pays well. They're machinists.
Could pay better.
Could be better. But the ones in Seattle just got a 38% raise. They got a $12,000 signing bonus. And in Missouri, for some reason, they offered them 20% with a $5,000 signing bonus. And so the machinists, rightfully, they did their due diligence, and they took it back to the members and said, look, this is their last best final offer. And the members shut it down and are on strike. And hopefully they will prevail. But, equal pay for equal work. And look, well, maybe there's a market adjustment. I understand. Like, it might be a little bit more costly to live in Seattle area-ish, right, versus, in Missouri or St. Louis area, but not that big of a difference.
And if you asked me who makes more, the people building 737s or the people building F-15s, I don't think I'm alone in guessing that the people building F-15s probably would make more, but they don't.
You would think they would.
For now. Maybe they will, but...
Yeah, I don't know. So you think that also you want to pay these people, well, right?
There's more commercial opportunity with the 737s, right?
I guess, but I mean, being that we're a nation that is always at war.
True. I don't know if you've been paying attention, Phil, but we are now just like straight up selling military equipment.
True. Yes.
I think we've been doing that for quite some time.
Yeah, it just hasn't been open advertised the way it is.
Yeah. Although, not anymore with Ukraine, right?
Sorry. No, it comes and goes. We're not giving it away. Yes. We are selling it now. Yes. So the EU is paying, and we are selling.
I think they should sell advertising space on the F-15s.
They should.
I'd like to see the clever marketing campaigns that would come with it. Like get chaos, like the Allstate thing.
Yeah,
where it's
that's
like
a good one.
Yeah, what happens? Oh,
that's a
missile
good one.
Hits. Never mind. That's a bad one.
Blue Chew.
And then we have a potential strike coming up in right here in our backyard in Naperville.
Naperville teachers.
Teachers.
Yeah.
And how many are there, Phil?
15,000.
How is that possible? There are 15,000
members. Not only just teachers, that's support staff as well. Gotcha. That's counselors, that's everyone.
Okay.
Yeah, they authorized a strike and it is set for Tuesday, it sounds like. Now there's still negotiations with the district. I think there's a little bit of optimism that they can get a deal done before then, but if not, welcome back to your second week of school.
Yeah,
teachers on strike. Yeah,
those are some of the highest. That's one of the highest rated districts in the state.
It is
in terms of what
performance, academic performance, oh, is that right? As well as homes.
Do they give the Oklahoma test?
The America First test. Yeah. No,
they do the reverse Oklahoma. If you're from Oklahoma, you're not welcome.
You got to take the Illinois First test.
Yeah, let's see some retaliation on that. That's true. I wonder if Oklahoma teachers are just not going to be allowed to move to California or New York.
Who's going
to
win that battle, I wonder?
Speaking of retaliation, and I know this is a slight bit off to the side, but not really because all...
When has that ever stopped us?
Yeah, but eventually we'll... affect us, and that is that crazy gerrymandering thing that happened in Texas, right? It's like, hey, we need 5 more seats, so just make sure that the map gives us 5 more seats. I mean, you want to talk about blatant insanity? That's crazy. And I have
California
not been
followed suit.
I have not been a fan of Governor Newsom until recently, when he just literally just decided to go
threw down the gauntlet,
full Trump.
Yeah,
and he's just trolling nonsense.
Like, what else are you supposed to do? Just sit there idly and be like, okay, yeah, I guess we'll just fight with one hand tied behind our back. Yeah.
So he said, okay, great. Then we're gonna, we're gonna gerrymander as well, and we're gonna quadruple the number of Democratic seats. It is what it is. But you imagine that this now will go further
for sure
around
the rest of the country.
No, we just opened up Pandora's box.
No
here.
Question about it.
Well, it started in Texas with we can get 5 more seats, right, which I assume is what they think they're going to lose because of some of the tariffs and some of the some of the things in the midterms.
Yeah.
So we're gonna redistrict in the middle of a 10-year cycle, which nobody does, ever. And everyone says, well, you can't do that outside of a census. So of course then the move is, well, we're calling for a special census. So the politicized nature of this is so blatant, but Texas does it. California says, if you do this, we're going to balance the scale and do the same thing. And now there are other red states saying, well, we've got to counteract California. Yeah. So this is sort of like a swirling down the toilet hole kind of a thing.
Down the drain.
And, well,
you mean our democracy swirling
it
down
is.
The toilet?
Is, and it's awful, but, you know, what are you going to do? As Gavin Newsom said, you can't stand on moral high ground when you have no power left.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, these levers have been pulled to just manipulate. So
in Texas's, their effort was the special session that was called, that was specifically for additional funding for the flood victims. And then they decided to shoehorn in,
right?
We got to redistrict as
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, that's why that was the playbook by the Republicans. Say, oh, these Democrats are leaving town. They're abdicating their responsibility to help out people who are victims of this devastating flood. But, yeah, it was all political ploy.
Greg Abbott is the most evil wheelchair-bound person I've ever met.
Ooh, that's an interesting qualification. I got to think about that
one. Serious.
Outside of, like, Bond movies, I think I might be with you on that one.
Yeah, I'm serious. And Bond movies are fictional. This guy's real.
That's terrifying.
Taking away water breaks from people. I mean, it's unbelievable.
And he was opposed to it from the get-go, and then Trump just kept leaning on him and leaning on him, and he said, okay, fine, I'll do it.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
God. Unbelievable. So, anyway, so that's happening at the moment. More to come on that. What else is going on, Ed?
I think we got to take a quick break.
Again?
We do. I know. It's just we're getting warmed up here.
All right.
We'll be back in a minute.
All right. I'll be back right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. We're going to do a little quick listeners of the week. Yes, Phil? You want to go first?
Yes, please. I'd like to give a shout-out to Tony Janowski, who is the Director of Business Development for the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. He had a family medical scare this week, and we're pulling for Tony and his family, and take care, buddy.
Friends of the show.
Friends of the show.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, it's not awesome, but that's nice of you. I have one, and it's weird. I got an email on the Coalition email, which is info@coalitionoflabor.org, by the way, if
Hit
you
us
ever
up.
Want any information. And we get a lot of them. And this one was from an IBW Local 701 member, and they're not part of the Coalition yet, but he said, I want to make a donation to the Coalition. And I'm like, well, what? So what do you mean? He's like, I want to make a donation to the Coalition. I'm like, I was like, dude, I appreciate it. You know, there's plenty of other organizations that could use a donation a lot more than us. So I gave him Labor Lab.
Yeah.
You know? But his name, I never actually got his name, but I think it's James. But he goes by Barbie and Lonnie on the email. And so it says, so I was like, you know, you don't think about the Workers' Mic? He's like, yeah, that's how I found you guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so shout out to that guy.
Shout out.
And really nice gesture. Cool. Like, I told him, like, I really appreciate the gesture. Like, thank you so much. He's like, you're a not-for-profit, aren't you? I'm like, we are, but, you know, take your money and go give it to, like, Labor or somebody that really, really needs it. So shout out to that guy.
Do you envision a day where someone could just join the Coalition just independent of
no
too hard so. Too hard to orchestrate.
We've had that ask, actually.
Well, the union pays for the member,
right?
But we've had, like, members just like, if we just open it up, can the member himself pay,
right,
you know, the $2
whatever,
or dollar,
the PM,
or whatever,
yeah,
you know. And right now the answer is no. Maybe it comes in at some point.
In the meantime, we tell members, I mean, the members recognize the value, and it's like, talk to your leadership about this, maybe bring it to their attention, because there's a lot of value there.
Yeah, for sure.
And when folks find out about it, they typically wind up joining.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
It is. And as actually the prices continue to drop, and we are adding more benefits, and we'll talk about some of the benefits that we're rolling out. You know, tease a little bit. We got a vision plan coming, which is going to be really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we just switched vendors for our
perks program.
Yeah.
Yeah, discounts on all sorts of things.
So now we got discounts on home and
theme
auto
parks, and, like, know, whatever.
Yeah, theme
insurance.
Parks. And, you know, just good,
anything
good,
you want.
Yeah.
Flowers for when you mess up at home. I always tout that because I use it probably 3 or 4 times a year.
Yes.
Yeah, anytime I do something that requires flowers to be sent, I'm always like, well, I'm going to save some money on these.
There you go.
Do they come via Waymo, or do they come via an actual driver?
No, I don't trust Waymo. So
what's going on, Waymo?
I believe in cars that
Waymo's
are driven by
not
people.
Here in
not
Illinois yet.
Yet,
but
yet.
You know it's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, so, is it primarily in California right now?
It's in Texas and San Francisco.
Austin, Texas.
Austin and San Francisco are, like, the two main places where it's it's fully launched and, you know, in service. Other places are testing it. We talked about Massachusetts, but now where they were trying to build a regulatory framework. New York City, they're going to be on the road. Driverless vehicles in New York City. But the interesting part about it is they are being tested with someone, a human being, sitting in a shotgun, you know, to make sure, like, that there's some oversight. But who out there would want that job?
To ride shotgun in a driverless car in New York.
We're going to begin testing a driverless vehicle in Manhattan, and you're going to sit in the car. It's like, pardon me, but don't people die in car accidents?
That's why they call it shotgun, because you get shotgunned out of the car.
It'd be the most terrifying.
I'd like some hazard pay for that one, for sure.
And then whatever people are doing in the back of that Waymo, which I've gotten into before, I'm not going to get into it again. Point. Now you got somebody in shotgun who's got to bear witness to all that.
Yeah. But who's like, you got a narc up front.
Who's the guy that's in the seat? Is he like a former Uber driver?
I don't know.
Like, isn't it like I'm looking at you taking my job and I'm helping you to train?
It's probably
to take
someone
my
who
job.
Works for Waymo who can, like, he wildly swerved into oncoming traffic.
You mean the intern? Hey, intern, get in the car.
Yeah, you got this. You're covered. Yeah.
Yeah. Do anybody's kids need a summer job?
Well, here's the thing, though. I will say this, and I say it again. I'll say it 1,000 times. If the market bears a demand for driverless vehicles, then that's what's going to happen, right? And people, you know what Waymo's going to do, and any one of these are going to do, they're going to take Uber and price it 20% less.
Well, right.
Until they get rid of all the Uber drivers, and then they're going to jack it up 40%.
Well, do you remember when Uber came out?
Of course.
In Chicago, yes. You could get an Uber or you could hail a cab, but an Uber, you could drive across the city for like $5.
Half, that's right.
It was so cheap that it was stupid not to do it. And then, of course, very old model.
Yes.
Get rid of the competition.
Surge pricing.
Surge pricing. That's right. I remember
this. And don't even give your drivers half the money for what they're
not
doing.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
They used to pay their drivers okay, and now it's less. It's like ATMs, right? They used to be free. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait a second, I have to pay to get my own money?
Yeah.
Right?
That's correct.
They cornered the market. So that's what's happening. But here, don't call one. You know, I've read, like, hey, why are you calling a driverless car over an Uber or whatever? And some of the comments were like, I don't want to talk to the driver. Like, well, you don't have to talk
they
to the
driver.
They
have a button in Uber, conversation or no conversation.
Yeah, it's like, come on, man. Like, that's just stupid. Like, why do you, would you get into a plane that has no pilot?
No.
That's right.
But I got to say, if you don't want conversation and somebody starts a conversation with you, there are a million fun ways to get them to stop talking to you. You know what I'm saying?
I certainly do.
And that sounds like fun to me. Like, if I want conversation and someone's chewing my ear, it's like, what's one thing I could say in the next 5 seconds where they will stop talking? There's a lot of fun to be had.
That's a good point. I'm the opposite.
What's your go-to?
I can't say that.
Yeah, he's not going to say that out loud. I think we all know Ed well enough that it's not going to be pretty.
It's not good.
It will shut down conversation in a millisecond.
Ever seen a grown man naked? Yeah.
And I'm the opposite. I get into an Uber or whatever, and I'm like the chatty Cathy. I want to talk.
Yeah.
I just want to talk. You know, hey, where you're from? What you're doing? How's Uber paying you? You guys should be in a union.
Yeah.
You know, in Massachusetts, they have App Drivers United, whatever it is. And so there's an actual union forming in Massachusetts right now for app drivers.
Right.
And so one of their main goals is to get rid of driverless cars. And good for them.
Yeah.
Right? Because here, this is just, you know, once again, another way that AI or robots or whatever are taking on jobs. You know, if you ask ChatGPT,
You've been using ChatGPT a lot.
I'm fascinated with it.
Yeah.
I really am.
Are you conversing with it?
No, I haven't got to that point, right? I heard like people are killing
themselves. I am feeling sad.
I'm just like, I'm trying to have a little fun with it. But I said, hey, ChatGPT, should workers be afraid of AI taking their jobs? And it gave this answer like yes and no.
Okay.
And literally said, you know, think of it as like an add-on for blah, 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 blah. But then it listed the jobs that could be taken or, will be taken, I hate to say it. And then the jobs that can't. And one of the main ones that can't, Phil, what do you think?
Construction.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Building trades. Yes.
One of the main ones that can, radio hosts.
Yeah, whatever.
That's a very funny joke, Phil. Let's talk about more funny jokes.
Yeah, we had a good run, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah. So last one, super quick. Ready? J.P. Morgan Chase. Their workers
forming a union.
Forming a union. Who would have ever thought the day? I'm sure that Jamie Dimon guy, he's probably okay with it, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, tellers, all staff?
No, it's like the bankers, investment folks.
Okay.
The people like in the office, and they're forming a union.
Good for them.
And what do you think? I'm sure their main concern is getting, you know, replaced. Yeah.
J.P. Morgan's stock price went up almost 40% so far this year.
Why?
So I think that's what they're worried about is like
their market share versus the other big banks is insane.
It's here in Chicago,
like
for sure.
They have like 80% of the market.
Show me the money.
It's something astronomically high for banks, yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break. We got to take a week break.
We got to take a break till next week.
Yeah, we do. But thank you so much, everybody. Thanks for all the support. You know, keep listening. Keep sending us comments. We really appreciate it. And we will be back next week with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.